Welcome to Living as a Disciple podcast. We live in a post-Christian culture, so how can we be and make disciples of Jesus? Discover it with us as we talk, brainstorm, and show you ways to be a disciple that makes disciples in today's culture. With you today, your hosts, Randy Nelson and Micah Johnson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Living as a Disciple. I am your co-host, Micah Johnson, along with our other co-host, Randy Nelson. Randy, how are you doing?
I'm well.
Awesome. Well, I'm really excited about this episode. This specific episode, we're focusing on the goal of becoming a disciple, or becoming a disciple being the goal as we're a Christian. I did want to make a reference. We are in Minnesota recording this episode. And at the recording of this episode, it is coming up on our fall season in Minnesota, which is often kind of a fun time to get outdoors. Temperatures are a little bit cooler. Leaves are changing, things like that. I'm just curious, kind of a fun thing before we dive into our topic today. Do you or your family ever do any traditional fall things? I know in Minnesota, it's kind of a big thing to have family traditions around fall. Anything that comes to mind for you?
Yeah, I like fall. I probably, once I get past that point, right, where I'm wishing, oh no, don't let fall come, because we know what happens after that. But once we get into it, you know, football's always fun. And for us, you know, I grew, a big thing was chili, making different types of chili. And I can remember, at my last church, that was a big deal, of having a chili cook-off, where everybody would make their own certain kind of chili, and you'd have everybody taste, and the winner would get the golden ladle. So, love chili.
The golden ladle. I love it. And people got excited about that?
Oh, absolutely. Competition was real, man.
Hey, chili competitions are a pretty big deal. I get it. Absolutely.
Well, even just, you know, beans, no beans. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
That can come to fist fight right there.
Yeah, some other things. If you're in the Midwest, or specifically Minnesota, when fall comes around, people go out to apple orchards. And I mentioned already, the leaves are changing. One of the fun things that our family has tried to do, kind of a tradition that we've tried to create, is going up to northern Minnesota, specifically around when the leaves are changing, so you can kind of see the beauty and the changing colors, you know, just God's creation and how he designed it to change. The other fun thing that we really have gotten or enjoyed doing as a family is, there's a place up in northern Minnesota called Split Rock Lighthouse. And we've typically taken our family there. We have a couple young kids, three young kids. And they've really enjoyed just the idea of a lighthouse. Mm-hmm. And it's been a really cool opportunity to teach them. Like, lighthouses aren't often utilized as much as they used to be, right? And it's a really cool opportunity to teach them what the intent and purpose behind a lighthouse was back in the day, where it was a guide for ships that were sailing when maybe they've kind of lost their way. It could be foggy. It could be raining. It could be rough waters. But they were guided by lighthouse lights, going from light to light and making sure that they were going down the right path to get to the direction they need to go. That's been a really fun thing for our family to do. It's been fun to see our kids navigate to, like, all the aspects of lighthouses and, you know, how they operated and how the caretakers took care of them, things like that. And it actually, like, to kind of bring it full circle to our topic on discipleship, I think there's really some cool application with the lighthouse and becoming a disciple, specifically the goal of becoming a disciple.
Sure.
And how we're continually guided by Christ as our light, our guide, our lamp.
That's a great picture. We talk about
the Christ and his word being a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
Yeah.
It's just given us some great opportunities as parents to help disciple our kids in that aspect. So as we dive into this topic on this podcast, we're going to be looking at specifically the goal of becoming a disciple, you know, where this call comes from, how those in Jesus' day would have understood it, as well as some aspects of what it looks like today. So, Randy, maybe if you want to just hop in here, we always kind of go back to starting with our main Great Commission verses, which come from Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And as we look at that, what kind of aspects do you pull out of that when it comes to the goal of becoming a disciple?
Yeah, I do. I'm enjoying this fall. That's our plan as we work through the episodes, is taking apart or pulling apart the Great Commission there in Matthew 28. And as we look at today's text from verses 18 and 19, it's real clear. You know, last time we had talked about all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples. And the thing that I wanted to highlight today was the fact that, yeah, that the goal is to be a disciple. And that's really key because I think if you honestly look at our churches today, or even as I grew up, well, kind of to know for sure what the goal was about. Was it just to attend church? Was it, you know, just be good and active in, you know, go to youth group or other things, or even just, you know, you could ask anybody, "What are you a Christian?" "Oh yeah, yeah." "What does that mean?" "Well, I don't know. I'm from the United States, and kind of everybody's a Christian, right?" And so it kind of gets watered down. But that's the goal, really, that Jesus makes clear is the goal is to make disciples, and disciples have such a very rich and full picture for us. You know, like Christian only appears a few times in scripture, but disciple itself appears at least 260 times. And so it was a really well-known term, and it gave a lot of insight into what Jesus was really getting at when he talks about to be a disciple.
Yeah, and you talked about it being a well-known term used over 260 times. What are some aspects of where they would use disciple? Because obviously we know of the term disciple being used, talking about like the 12 disciples of Christ, but it was a terminology that was actually known well before the disciples of Christ. So what other ways was it used in scripture?
Right. Well, literally it means learner or follower. But historically, and those in Jesus' day would understand it very much to be a student, someone who is committed to learning from a master. In fact, all the different legal Pharisees and teachers of that day would have disciples, would have those who would learn under them and follow them. And with the law being such a big deal, as Jesus points out, actually they were focusing too much on the law. But there was many who would follow exactly. And in fact, even I was told, my pastor underlined, he said that actually it became known as to be covered in the dust of the master. Hmm. The idea being that you would walk so close behind the master that his dust would come up on you. Another picture there too is a duplicate, that you would look just like your master. In fact, people could look at you and could tell who your master was just by your attitudes, the things you would say, the things you would say, do, et cetera. And so there is that understanding of you were just like the one that you were studying under. And then scripturally, there is also lots of rich meaning to what it means to be a disciple. To be a disciple, you would need to be born again. You would be someone who had come to believe and trust that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and believed and trusted in him and what he had done. And also, we would be worshipers. We would, as a disciple, you would recognize who he was and follow him. And also being a servant of all, just as he was. He described himself in that term so much. And then also, finally, the call to be a witness. I think of in Acts 1, and you shall be my witness, the idea of someone who points to what we have learned from him. These are the things we saw. These things that we heard. This is what he did, and sharing that with others. Again, it's more than I can, you know, just quickly articulate here, but it's a very full picture of someone who would be totally committed to following Jesus and his teachings.
Yeah, I love that. Covered in the dust of the master. I think that's mm-hmm. a really cool way of putting it. I actually just recently was doing a woodworking project at our house. Mm. Won't get into all the details, but essentially we were trying to put up a barnwood wall from some old barnwood that I had acquired. And obviously having little kids, they're like, hey, we want to be a part of this too. So, you know, you clear out the garage and you get the saw ready and you get your tape measures and your pencils and all the things that you need to do, your levels to get this thing going. Well, if you've ever done woodworking, you know really quick that like getting covered in the dust is just a natural reality of everything that's in there. So I'm cutting wood and dust is getting everywhere. They're watching me. They're getting covered in dust. Right. And meanwhile, they're grabbing pieces of wood and trying to do what I'm doing. Like, obviously, they can't use the saw the way I'm doing it, but they're, you know, taking their hammers or whatever. But the interesting thing is they're studying everything that I'm doing. They're seeing how, you know, the concept of like measure twice, cut once it becomes a very real reality where you see them like actually measuring out things a couple times and then they'll step back and look at it. And like, is this right? Is this wrong? Even to the point of where, like, let's say you hit your finger with a hammer and you don't react in the right way. Your kids pick up on that too, right?
Yeah.
So literally following, or not following, covered in the dust of the master through the good things and the bad things, you're learning every time you go. And I like that picture even as Christians where we talk about being born again, worshipers, witnesses for Christ, like, there's this longing, I believe, that when we're truly transformed by Christ through the Holy Spirit, that in a sense, the Holy Spirit is that dust covering that comes from the Master leading and guiding us. And it's not something that we want to shy away from. It's something we want to embrace. And as we talked about even before we started recording this episode, not only is it something that we want to embrace, but we want the world around us to know about it and embrace it. And as we continue to remain faithful in that, the world recognizes, you know, my kids recognize the things that I do and they want to be a part of it, whether it's good or bad, right? But the world around us, when we say that we're Christians and we are in the image of God and want to be faithful to what he's called us to, the world around us sees that.
We mentioned here one of the pictures that I think is helpful for us, because you know, who feels comfortable being called a disciple, right? that's a big title. But really, if you think of it as learner, and you realize that it means I'm just following, I'm learning. I love some of the images there, just imagining Noah and Asher picking up pieces of wood and figuring stuff out. And we're the same way, right? As disciples, we're figuring stuff out. Just because I'm a disciple doesn't mean I know everything. In fact, I'm following the master. I'm looking and doing what he's doing or what I think he's doing. But sometimes it doesn't look exactly the same. But it's a process where I'm continuing each and every day wanting to get better, wanting to be more like him. And I think that's a wonderful picture of what it means to, like you said, being transformed by God's Spirit as a follower and believer in Jesus Christ. It's a daily process of becoming more like him.
And we see that in creation too. I was actually, before we were meeting here, I was listening to a song that talked specifically about creation and like how seeds grow. So there's actually has to be a breaking of a seed before it can grow and sprout and be nurtured into a tree or whatever that seed is for. So there's this understanding that we as Christians need to be broken, you know, and then we're never perfect. You know, we're going to still keep growing and we're going to have to keep maturing. And, you know, scripture even talks about pruning and cutting off the bad pieces and things like that. Like we're going to continually be grown into what God wants us to be as we continue to follow his steps and be covered in the dust of the master, like we talked about.
And I think those are all helpful, especially in, as we're talking about this, that's the goal. Hopefully that's encouraging to us that it's a process that's going to go on and on. And there may be moments when we don't look exactly like the master and then we may fall short, but it's certainly worth the effort and it's certainly a great process.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then there is still that call to commitment in scripture as a disciple, right? So I think of like Matthew 16, 24 through 26, where Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever saves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? And those are kind of weighty phrases. You know, we don't want to nullify the impact of what it means to be a disciple.
Right.
That's
true.
It is a pretty weighty thing based on what scripture is saying.
Yeah, it doesn't take, you know, we don't have to be great Bible scholars to read through and see there's a lot of clear images here. You know, when he talks about taking up your cross, we're post-resurrection, so we understand where he's going with this, but they didn't. You know, to them, they know that was the greatest form of torture. That was the greatest form of death. You know, and certainly shows to do this, to follow this path, is going to be really costly. But at the same time, he also makes clear that there's nothing in this world that is worth more than following him, that nothing more, we gain the whole world but forfeit our soul. But what can we give in return for our soul? You know, that's the whole point of Jesus coming, right, was to come and to die for our sins, to rescue us from death and hell, and to give us that hope and promise of eternal life, to redeem us, our souls, that we would live with him forever. That's we can't thank Jesus enough for that. We can't express our gratefulness for that enough. And it certainly affirms to us that he's worthy of pursuing and worthy of being willing to go down this course of being a disciple and not letting anything else get in the way of our becoming a disciple.
It is amazing to me how, you know, we always talk about scripture not only being relevant in the time that it was written and the time that Jesus walked the earth. Obviously, it was written, documented a little bit after Jesus left earth for some of these New Testament passages, but how it still holds significant relevance today. Mm-hmm. You see things like the man who gains the whole world but forfeits his soul. Like, we definitely live in a culture that is all about gaining everything this world has to offer, right?
Yeah.
And things that are important to the health of our soul are put on a back burner in the name of worldly gains and worldly profits and worldly fame and fortune, things like that. I'm just continually amazed at how relevant these type of scriptures are, even to our current day, when, you know, obviously Jesus knew far into the future,
right?
But people just see sometimes the Bible as historic text or whatever, but it speaks into our everyday lives in the current day and current culture.
And it certainly affirms that it's going to be a struggle. You know, it's hard. We're competing against a lot of different things to continue to follow this. And we live in a world where, you know, like we talked about last time about the two kingdoms, we live in a world that's very different from what it was supposed to be and what God calls us to be. And it certainly lifts up lots of shiny jewels and shiny things that tells us, if you'll pursue me, these things, you'll find, you know, your fulfillment and your satisfaction. And Jesus knew, and he teaches us that that's not true. Yeah, we're only going to find true riches by following him and trusting in him.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's kind of cool, too, to see the back in scripture, like Jesus completely understood this whole take up your cross and follow me, obviously, yeah. Like he lived it. But you also see in scripture that there is a joy, you know, in being a part of being able to, like, there's a definitely a burden there. Mm-hmm. There was a joy in seeing people come alongside him and being able to build up. I think of like the 12 disciples, like he just identified them and said, come follow me. Let's do this. And to see them struggle throughout the New Testament with all the ups and downs. And yet he was encouraging and he was challenging to them at the same time. But we live in kind of a culture and a world now that is like, if something's too challenging or it challenges our normal, we'll just say what it is. If it challenges our sinful nature, you know, or is contrary to our culture, then we don't really want to address it, you know, and Jesus did just the opposite. So thinking about that a little bit more, we have to believe that in growing as a disciple, it may be hard, but it's not impossible, right? You know, we've addressed a few different things. In what ways can we kind of bring this full circle and be like, but we can do this? You know, we've talked about family before and different ways we can do it. We can do it in our church, in our community. What are some practical ways that you can see us living out as a disciple and growing with the goal of creating more disciples?
Yeah. Yeah. Just to your point of, you know, recognizing those struggles that we face, you know, that we have that natural desire that we have to fight our old nature, which doesn't want to do any of these things. We want to be happy. We don't want to satisfy ourselves. We don't want to pursue these things. You know, scripture tells us that no one seeks after God. It's only as he calls us to him. And so that old nature is a constant battle. There's also, you know, as we talked about, that culture of, you know, that tells us all these other things are better than that. And so we realize that we, in our own strength, aren't able to do any of those things. You know, I can't help but go back to and be reminded of Luther's explanation of the third article of the Creed, where he talks about, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but that he calls me through the gospel and he enlightens me with his gifts. There's nothing in me that causes me to want to be a disciple. Nothing that causes me to want to turn my back on the world. Nothing that causes me to, you know, be willing to sacrifice any of these things. It's the Holy Spirit working in me. And so, yeah, there is that part of as we come to Christ, submit to him, choose him as Lord and Savior, choose to follow him daily, requires that willingness to submit to God and seek his power. It requires you know, even the daily and sometimes hour or minute by minute commitment to choose to following him, to following the things that he has taught us. And even choosing to not only do it for ourselves, but even some of the uncomfortable things of sharing it with others. You know, that's a whole other part of this, is that we talk about it as, right, for us, is the call is to make disciples who make disciples. That's really what Jesus created us for, is not only that we would come to know him, but that way we would reach and share that with others. And there's a whole other level of struggle with reaching out to a world that is contrary and people who don't want the things of God. And especially now that we live in a time, many refer to it as a post-Christian culture here in the United States, where the things of God, the things, who Jesus is, what he teaches, and all those things are considered, well, in some places, even hate. And so it is, certainly there's a lot of cost to this.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do we kind of move forward from here? Like, where should we go from a practical application to living as a disciple in the context of what we've been talking about?
Well, I think and I think you and I have talked about this before, there's God didn't create us to be disciples in a vacuum or by ourselves. You know, he calls us to be a part of his body, part of the church. The local church is such an important and critical part of how we grow as a disciple. It is where we come together to worship, which is such a critical part of that aspect of following Jesus, but also supporting and encouraging one another. There's also that call to not only just to gather for worship, which a lot of our churches are good at, but also the call to disciple, to become more and more like Jesus on a daily basis, to learn the spiritual truths that are different from the rest of the world, to share those with others, to continue to grow and conform by God's Spirit to become more and more like him. You know, a simple thing, right? The Ten Commandments. Many of us know those. Sadly, many in our culture today don't, and many think that they're just filled with hate. But actually, every one of those things are first to point us to God, and second, to build a relationship with him. And then third, also equipping us to relate to one another. And in every one of those things that it points us to, don't do this, it also affirms, here's other things, what it means you should be doing. And in that way, you become more and more like Christ. And I think that's a neat picture of what that call to being a disciple is. And then another part that churches offer is what I call stewardship. You know, sometimes we think of stewardship as only involving our money, but really stewardship is we are made a steward or controller of the things that God's given us. And a lot of times it's not really our money, but as much as our time and our energy and our efforts to choose to use those for God's kingdom, to help others. We all have spiritual gifts given to us when we come to Christ. And all of those are necessary to help build up and grow that congregation, that church, that body. And in fact, the local church is hindered, handicapped, really, if the members that God's brought to that church aren't using their gifts. And so that's just a really quick picture of, you know, what it means to be committed to the church and personal discipleship, how that affects that, as well as and individually, personally, we have a commitment to spiritual growth, you know, the things that we often talk about, right? Bible study, prayer, being a part of a support group or accountability group. I'm a part of a quad, and I know you others are involved with those small group Bible studies. But then there's also, too, it seems like that part of making disciples that often even gets forgotten today in this culture, that it's not just building up myself personally, but there's a whole other level that it seems like we've forgotten to make disciples, that we have a call to not only be looking to improve ourselves, but also to find others that we can mentor and share. I just dumped a whole bunch of stuff back at you. Sorry, I didn't really give you much chance to respond. What do you think?
No, I think that's great. You know, I think sometimes people go, well, what's the difference? We talked about just the label Christian and then the difference between just Christian, because anybody can have a label, right? You know, you can say, well, I'm a Christian because I live in this country or because I go to church or whatever. That may be true. But when it comes to discipleship, people go, well, what are the marks of a disciple?
Mm-hmm.
And I actually often refer back to Matthew 7, where Jesus was talking about, he said, a healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits.
Mm.
And so it's, to me, it takes it even a deeper level. Just going to church doesn't necessarily make you a disciple. And maybe I'll get in trouble for saying this, but even just focusing on your own personal spiritual growth, I don't know that necessarily makes you a disciple. I think what God is calling us to is the third level or an extra level, if you want to call it. But yes, you have to focus on being good stewards and your own personal spiritual growth, but it's the outpouring of that. Yeah. It's the fruits that people recognize. And a little bit of the justification that I have for that, because after those verses that I just quoted, mm-hmm. it says, thus you will recognize them by your fruit. The very next verse says, now, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Jesus painted us a clear picture in his earthly ministry, right, of what it means to make a disciple.
Yeah.
And that was a multiplication process. That wasn't just a me process. That was a my community process. That was my fellow brothers and sisters that go to my church process. And by your fruits, you will recognize them.
Amen. I 100% agree. I think it reminded me of, when somebody asked me what is a description or what is Jesus' description of a disciple, I go to Mark 12 and where Jesus describes the, what is the great commandment? What's the greatest commandment at all? And Jesus says, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That really does sum up what that call is in just what you were talking about, right? It's growing in my relationship with God and learning to love him with all of my heart, all of my soul, my being, my life, with all of my mind and intellect, with all of my commitment, strength. That's all, like we were just talking about, that internal relationship building, growing in head knowledge and understanding of all these things. But then there's the second part that kind of throws people off, right? And loving your neighbor as yourself. Loving others, engaging with others, sharing with them what you have learned, being like Jesus to them, forgiving them when they sin against you, caring for them in their trials and struggles, as he, like he talked about with the Good Samaritan. You know, all of that is necessary, right? As a disciple, following what Jesus is and what it looks like. And you know, and I guess at the same time too, it can be a bit intimidating, right? But how encouraging that to know that God empowers us and wants us to do these things.
Yeah, and even that understanding that we're image bearers of God, right? Mm-hmm. Of Christ, and that the lens that we look at the world through is different when mm-hmm. we're in Christ, and that we desire to truly bring glory to God. Not to ourselves. It's not about me. It's about bringing glory to God and reaching others for his kingdom. Well, as we reflect on what we've discussed here, if you could summarize it to just a couple things, Randy, what would you want our podcast listeners to really take away from our discussion today?
Well, I think our big point, right, is understanding that the call is to be a disciple. That's really God's desire for us. And that's an exciting thing for us. It's an all-day, everyday thing, following and living for Jesus, understanding and committing to overcoming the challenges that go with it, knowing that we're going to be battling our old nature, that we're going to be battling a fallen world that surrounds us and is going to be trying to entice us away, understanding that growing as a disciple. Also, too, as we do these things, make sacrifices and such, it's really important that we understand that it doesn't gain us points with God. He already loves us as much as he can, and nothing we're going to do is change that. But really, living as a disciple is showing our love to God. It's how we can live out this life to the fullest. And when we begin to grasp that, we begin to see through the lies of this culture, this world, and focus on the things of this kingdom. You know, many of us grew up, you know, singing the song from Matthew 6, right? Seek ye first the kingdom. But there's so much truth to that. That's really where we're going to find a full and rich life. But also, too, at the same time, it's important that we not lose hope. The reality is, while we pursue this, being a disciple, growing as becoming more like Christ, we're sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. That's why Jesus came. If we could get better, he wouldn't have had to have come. that's our old nature, and unfortunately, that's something we will battle until we go to glory. So there is that sin that's going to happen, but at the same time, we have complete forgiveness as we come to God, and so living as a disciple doesn't mean we won't sin, but it does mean that we'll have fruit, like you said, and we begin to look more and more like Jesus. When we do sin, we're going to seek and receive God's forgiveness and leave those failures behind and understand really that the whole goal of this process is to become more and more like Jesus, that others might see Jesus through us and that we would bring glory to him. Now, obviously, that's an awful lot, and that's really kind of why we called the podcast Living as a Disciple, because there's a lot to this, and we'll be unpacking this for years probably. But hopefully that's just a quick thumbnail sketch there.
Yeah, and for anybody that's really struggling to figure out, well, where do I begin? You know, I want to go down this journey and really start to dive in. It's like, I always take people back to, like, it starts with your own spiritual growth, right? Mm-hmm. And a great way to start that is dig into the Word of God, dig into Scripture, and become a person of prayer. Prayer is a powerful tool when it comes to transforming our lives and seeking where God wants to use us for his kingdom. Mm-hmm. So dive into Scripture, be people of prayer, and see where God leads you.
Mm-hmm.
Randy, would you close us with a brief prayer as we end our session?
Yeah. Lord God, how humbling it is to think that you left your kingdom, that you left the glory and joy of heaven, and humbled yourself to become one of us, taking on the form of sinful man, just because you love us, just because you knew there was no way that we could be saved on our own, just because you knew that we needed to be saved, that because of the fall, we were destined to hell because we choose our own way, and we do it all. It's not just in the past. We all have that sinful nature. Lord, you came and redeemed us. You came and laid down your life for us. You didn't just do it as a quick thing, but rather you came and lived here 30 years, and then 3.5 years you lived as a teacher and taught the disciples what it means. You gave that so that we would learn what it means to be like you, to understand what the real goals are in life, to what it means to be a disciple. And then after dying and saving us and rescuing us, and it was we come to know you as Savior and Lord. Lord, as we live this life now, not just waiting for eternity, waiting to die and go and spend heaven, go to heaven with you, Lord, you have called us to be a part of your kingdom here on earth, to be a disciple, to share in the joys of sharing this good news with others, as well as being transformed by your Holy Spirit day by day, becoming more and more like you, becoming a disciple. And I hope we understand that this is not a punishment. This is not a big burden, but rather it is incredible privilege and honor to be called a disciple of yours. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us an excitement for this, a hunger and a desire to be more like you. And that, Lord, and we would seek after that. And that others in time, or even as we're growing as a believer now, others would see that there's a change in us. They would see that there is fruit in us, and they would see you through us. Lord, that's our desire, and we pray you'd work that in each one of us now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Randy. Thanks for the great conversation. And thank you to our listeners. We very much appreciate you tuning in and would encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. You can share the podcast. You can connect with people within the community. And we appreciate your feedback, too. If you have any feedback or topics that you'd like us to cover in regards to living as a disciple, we would definitely welcome those as well. We hope that you'll join us next time for our next episode on the Living as a Disciple podcast, which we're entitling Making Disciples of All Nations. Thanks for tuning in.